VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're glad you've joined us today for a program discussing a topic that needs to be heard. Increasingly, we are being confronted with the promotion of transgenderism. It's happening in municipalities. They're passing so-called non-discrimination laws so that individuals can use the restrooms, locker rooms, and showers in the areas of public accommodation as to the gender they wish to identify. It's being promoted in corporate America. We've seen what's happened with Target and the change policies for restrooms and the changing rooms. It's happening in sports, where men who wish to identify as women are now competing against women in sports. We see the Obama administration instituted orders for the military to accept transgenderism, which is currently being fought in the courts by the Trump administration. Tragically, it's being promoted in schools, where some teachers are reading books to their students about changing gender or teaching that gender is fluid. We see school boards that have instituted policies allowing students to use the restrooms, locker rooms, and showers to be consistent with the gender they choose to identify. Even overnight school functions, boys who wish to identify as girls are able to share overnight accommodations with girls without parental notification or consent. And sadly, ladies and gentlemen, parents are allowing their children to choose their own gender, and the confusion continues. Well, one such medical doctor is looking at the impact upon children and is speaking out that the transgender ideology is, in her opinion, large-scale child abuse. Joining us today, we welcome back Dr. Michelle Critella, president of the American College of Pediatricians and a general pediatrician with a special interest in behavioral pediatrics. She serves on the medical committee of the Alliance for Therapeutic Choice and Scientific Integrity. She has served on the board of directors of the National Association for Research and Therapy for Homosexuality. She received her medical degree in 1994 from the University of Connecticut School of Medicine and completed an internship and residency in pediatrics in 1997 at the Connecticut Children's Medical Center in Hartford. Dr. Critella, nice to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thank you, Jim.
We so often hear today that gender is assigned at birth, that people are born transgender. In other words, we're told gender is fluid. It can change as one changes or ages. Are we born with a gender? Can a person be born transgender? What are the facts, doctor?
Well, the fact is people have a sex. We have a biological sex. Gender is a political term. It's grammar and things may have a gender. You know, if I name my car Susan, my car doesn't have a sex. Okay, if I name my car Susan, I just gave it a gender. But people, we are conceived. So from the moment of conception, our genetics, we are either male or female, depending on our sex chromosomes. If we are XX, we are conceived a girl. If we are XY, we are conceived a boy. And that is imprinted in every cell of our body forever. That does not change.
So you're saying there's a significant genetic difference between male and female?
Absolutely. From the moment of fertilization. And it does not change. It cannot be changed. And now, in medicine, we realize that it's not just the sex chromosomes that are different between men and women, but in fact, there are at least 6,500 genes that are expressed differently between men and women across the lifetime.
Huh.
So we are not interchangeable, and that is a fact from fertilization forward. What the activists are doing, you know, they basically took this term gender that never applied to people, and they are using it to promote a political ideology. We are male or female, and that's it.
Well,
it's not assigned. It's not assigned by any person. It's established by our DNA, declares sex, declares itself on ultrasound or at birth, and we recognize it. We don't, as doctors or people, we don't assign sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then we hear about people who go through hormone treatment or surgeries. Can a person go through any kind of treatment, any kind of surgery to change their biological sex? Can a man ever become a woman or a woman become a man?
No, it is not. It is not possible. When even in childhood, if I give you medication, hormones, I cannot change your DNA. Hormones, medications may change your appearance, but it's not going to change your DNA. And that's what has declared us or established us as either male or female. And the same goes for surgery. The surgeries that are performed are merely cosmetic. So all that these transgender-identified people are doing is impersonating the opposite sex. You can never become the opposite sex. You may impersonate, but not actually become.
Do you believe that gender confusion then is mental?
Sure, absolutely. Identity is in the mind. Identity has to do with our thinking, our feelings, our perceptions. Now, our thinking, feelings, and perceptions are not hardwired by our DNA. They develop as a result of who we are and our environment, our growing up, our experiences. So if I am, oh, for example, an eight-year-old girl, and this is the case, I had an eight-year-old girl who came into my office, and she was convinced that she was obese. She was not. She was thin. The problem there is in her perception. She looks in the mirror and sees a fat body, but she does not have one. So the problem is not in her body. The problem is in her mind, her thoughts, her perceptions. There is no difference, scientifically or medically speaking, there's no difference between a person who says, I am transgender, I'm trapped in the wrong body, and a person who is an anorexic person who looks in the mirror and sees themselves as fat. So medically and scientifically speaking, these are misperceptions, thinking thought disorders, not biologically determined conditions.
You were a pediatrician for nearly 20 years. Mm-hmm. If a parent came to you and said, my son identifies as a girl or vice versa, my girl identifies as a boy, how did you respond to that?
So typically what we would do is have family therapy, because oftentimes it's not just the that's not the only thing going on. For example, a girl who presented to me in the office in that fashion, her parents were going through a divorce at the time. So in the context of family therapy, exploring her feelings, her beliefs, and working out the conflicts between the parents going through the divorce, that resolved her issues. I mean, she was 12 at the time. She had always been a typical tomboy. As her parents were going through the divorce, she started expressing that she felt like a boy, wanted to be a boy. Through the course of therapy, things were clarified, dynamics changed, smoothed over, and she went back to identifying simply as, yes, I am a girl, being I'm just an athletic girl. Another case which I had was of a little boy who, between the ages of 3 and 5, with the birth of his younger sister, he increasingly identified as a girl, played with opposite sex toys, and wanted to cross dress. Referred him and his parents to family therapy, And in the course of play therapy, it came out that I've called him. The Daily Signal wrote about this particular experience that I had with this patient. The little boy, I called him Andy, basically said, "You don't love me when I'm a little boy."
Hmm.
And that's because his sister had severe special needs. And so this little boy at age 3 went from being king of the hill, so to speak, to witnessing his parents, like his whole life from this little boy's perspective was turned upside down. All of a sudden there's this little baby girl and she's taking all of mommy and daddy's attention. So psychology everyone's psychology can be different, but it's real. It's real. And this is our challenge. This is our challenge as physicians and therapists to help try to dissect what's underneath the gender confusion, what's underneath these thoughts and beliefs.
Doctor, as you know, there's some pretty horrendous things that are happening with children. LifeSite News ran a story January 5th, 2018. A 10-year-old Brooklyn, New York boy who was found purportedly and is to have founded the first ever drag house established exclusively for kids who are doing what they call amazing drag. At age 6, he began asking his parents for princess costumes and dresses. His parents consulted a therapist who told them it was best just to allow Desmond to develop naturally and to explore his taste on clothing and his toys and activities.
Yeah, and, you know, the greatest, the world-renowned expert in gender identity disorder, Dr. Kenneth Zucker, who is liberal himself, he is gay affirming and does support adult transgender rights. However, he is still the world renowned expert on child gender identity disorder, has always strongly recommended against allowing cross-sex dressing and cross-sex playing. Because when a child presents with that confusion, if you affirm their confusion, you're actually ingraining the fantasy in their mind, which is common sense. I mean, anyone who's a school teacher knows that if you want to help your children, your class, relate to, let's say, a social studies concept or health class, we frequently engage in role playing. I not infrequently volunteer at schools to help in different science and health classes. So engaging in role playing is a technique that is known to reinforce lessons and beliefs that you want your children, your students to carry out, to internalize. So it certainly is damaging.
Dr. Michelle Critella, our guest here today on Crosstalk, we're going to take a quick break and come back to further explore this issue as we're addressing transgenderism medically and looking at it through the eyes of a medical doctor. Dr. Critella is president of the American College of Pediatricians. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do blind cave fish come from?
Chris, it seems that some fish get trapped in caves living in total darkness. They have no use for their eyes, thus their eyes atrophy and no longer develop. But some of these fish are virtually identical to fish that live in lakes and streams nearby, which do have eyes. I've long wondered what would happen if you took some of these blind fish and raised them in a lit environment. Would their eyes begin to develop? The fish still have the genes for eyes, but they're never switched on. Thus, the eyes are never expressed. I've often wondered if they're interfertile with the sighted fish. This seems to be a good research project, but as far as I know, the blind fish are protected, and no such research has been done. Chris, fish were created on day 5 of Creation Week, and that happened back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, addressing transgenderism medically today. I mean, that's the term used, isn't it? Transgenderism. But, folks, you cannot change being male or female, no matter what you do. It is ingrained in every cell. Every 6,500 genes express what you are biologically, male or female. Dr. Critella is with us. She's president of the American College of Pediatricians. You have actually likened the transgender ideology as large-scale child abuse. Could you comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of a child's psychological and physical development, that's exactly what's happening. Because from preschool forward, whether it's in the preschools or even in public libraries, and as you said, like those drag queen clubs for kids, children are being taught, you know, three-year-olds and on up are being taught the lie that you may be trapped in the wrong body. And it is a lie. There is absolutely no science to support the concept that you can be trapped in the wrong body.
Hmm.
Why is this damaging? A three-year-old child is just figuring out that they are a boy or a girl. They do not understand that a boy grows into a man, a girl grows into a woman, until about age five. At age five, they still don't understand that sex is permanent. They don't understand at age five or younger that if a man puts on makeup and a dress, he doesn't actually become a woman. It's not until age seven that children understand sex is permanent, a permanent part of you that doesn't get changed by costumes or makeup. So when you have these, I like to call them gender-bending books, such as introducing Teddy in your hat, and especially when you're having drag queens read them,
mm-hmm.
preschoolers, I'll take that book as an example. Teddy, at the start of the book, is a teddy bear who wears a bow tie. He's clearly a boy bear, but he doesn't feel quite right. And you follow Teddy through the picture book, and by the end, it's Teddy and his owner, his little boy owner. By the end of the book, Teddy has moved his bow tie to his head as a barrette, and he has become, he takes on a girl's name. I'm going to say it's Tilly. A three-year-old or a kindergartner who listens to that book will actually internalize, oh, if I change my appearance, I can change my sex.
Hmm.
So you are, just by what's happening in the school system, what's happening, what the kids are seeing on TV or in the libraries, you are damaging their normal psychological development. This is propaganda. This is indoctrination, child abuse. How else is it child abuse? How is it physical child abuse? Once you have a confused child, they'll go to their pediatrician, who will then refer them either to a therapist or a gender specialist, who will say, "Oh, yep, you want to be the opposite sex, or you think you are the opposite sex? Yes, we have to have you start cross-dressing right now. Change your name." And by the way, we're going to put you on puberty blockers. So that way, you will have more time, right? An 8-year-old or 9-year-old child is going to think about what sex they really are. So we're going to arrest your puberty. What does that mean? You put them on, a hormone blocker called Lupron, and it stops their normal puberty from happening. It arrests their brain growth, their bone growth, not just their secondary sex characteristics, right? It doesn't just, so it keeps them looking small and prepubertal, yes, but it's actually arresting their brain growth too. And what we know, there's only one long-term study of kids who are put on the puberty blockers that follows them into their late teens, and every child who went on the puberty blockers, no big surprise, asked for the sex change hormones. And once you do that, they're permanently sterilized. So, yeah, this is child abuse. This is child abuse at the hands of teachers, therapists, and physicians.
Doctor, why is it we don't see more the medical profession speaking out on this issue? I mean, you're representing the American College of Pediatricians, a group that counters your organization, the American Academy of Pediatrics, seeks rather to affirm transgenderism in children. Why is it we don't have, I mean, certainly the science of this, I would think that they would know what XX and XY means. Why is it that we do not find more physicians like yourself and your organization speaking out on this?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it comes down to politics. There are a small number of activist physicians in powerful positions in the major medical groups. And it is a top-down tyranny. If physicians do not toe the line, they will find themselves basically without a job. It's that severe. I've heard this from physicians at multiple academic programs across the country. They will email me or call our office and say, thank you for speaking out. If I were to speak out, it would end my career. So I would say that's the biggest problem we face, is that you're painted as a bigot and you're actually threatened with having your research defunded or being demoted or outright fired. There are other medical groups who agree with us. Christian Medical Dental Associations, the Catholic Medical Association, the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. All of us, including the American College of Pediatricians, do take on other issues as well. So as pediatricians, our group, I think, has been the most vocal on this particular issue, but the others have joined with us in drafting some letters to try and get the word out.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Critella, what do you advise people about changing pronouns? Like, we're told to use preferred pronouns for individuals. Has become real big in schools and even in these focus groups and so forth. But the changing pronouns, preferred pronouns, even if they defy the person's biological sex.
Right. I mean, we don't support that as the College of Pediatricians. Again, anything that promotes the idea that it's normal to impersonate, normal and healthy to impersonate the opposite sex, we would oppose. It's pure ideology. It's not true. What do you do if you're faced, you're in school and you're being disciplined because, I mean, as it happened in elementary school, I think earlier.
California,
right?
I believe.
California. It was Rockland, California. Mm-hmm. A first grade little girl was disciplined in the middle of her friends on the playground for calling a little boy by his true name, but he had transitioned at the end of kindergarten. And so she was scolded for calling him the wrong name. And then she was promptly brought to the principal's office and scolded some more. Now, the only thing we can do then, and which has happened, there is a parent rights group has sprung up in Rockland, California, and at the grassroots level, they're trying to argue for common sense, and that seems to be the best that that people can do.
I know that the established educational system really has fallen hook, line, and sinker into this. We have school systems that have forbidden teachers from telling parents of their children's gender confusion. We have teachers who have so-called transitioned before their students, and teachers who have propagated transgenderism by reading the book you mentioned, or I Am Jazz,
yes,
along with other books, even helping, and the child you referred to in California, be a boy and then go off into the restroom and change change and come out as a girl.
Yes.
And then we have Family Research Council just had a story of Northern Virginia Public School that held a school-wide assembly before Christmas break featuring a transgender crusader, Amy Ellis Nutt, about a boy who identified as a girl. And now we have Kenosha Schools just to our south that rather than pursuing through the courts, they just settled a transgender discrimination suit for $800,000. How concerned are you for what's happening in classrooms across this nation?
It is incredibly frightening. I do receive emails from teachers and parents, and generally what I do is point them to various resources on our website. And at the grassroots level, at the school committee level, you know, they're fighting, and they have some small wins, and, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. It may come down to having to homeschool. There's no easy solution, but none of us at the American College of Pediatricians is ready to stop fighting.
Mm-hmm.
The stakes are too high.
You know, and Planned Parenthood has such a cozy relationship for so many schools, and I understand that they now, the nation's largest abortion provider, have now expanded its services in 17 states to offer what they call transgender hormone therapy.
Yes, yes. You know, it ideologically, it's all a part of the sexual revolution. Planned Parenthood, at least since the early 1960s, has been on board with the whole gay agenda. So it's not surprising at all that they would expand into sex change hormones and puberty blockers.
We have Bradley Manning now, going by the name of Chelsea Manning, has announced a bid for the U.S. Senate out of Maryland. What impact does this have upon the discussion where more and more of this lifestyle is being pushed as to make it become part of the mainstream, to make it seem as it's normal and healthy?
Well, I think that, you know, that there are so many dangers. I mean, it's the more it's pushed as normal and healthy, the greater number of children who will be derailed in their normal psychological development just by virtue of growing up in a confused culture. And then the more normalized this becomes, the next group of citizens who are most at risk are women. Because if there's no, if a man just has to think he's a woman to be a woman, and, you know, there's no defense of having sex privacy, you know, you can't have any sex-specific spaces, then it's women's privacy and safety that takes the next greatest hit. And as you mentioned before, men are competing against women now. And mm-hmm. So we have men winning scholarships away from girls and women.
Folks, we're going to open the phone lines, let you talk with Dr. Michelle Curtella. Our number to crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Be ready to jot down their website after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For many years, the poetry of Alice Hanshee Mortensen has been featured on VCY America's Music Till Dawn. These poems have brought comfort, courage, challenge, and inspiration to the hearer. VCY America is making available a pack of two poetry books written by Alice Hanshee Mortensen, He Holds My Hand and Just Around the Bend. Inside these books, you'll find writings such as From the Hospital Bed, He Holds My Hand, Homesick for Heaven, Prayer Before Surgery, A Mother's Prayer, and many more. These spiral-bound books include nearly 200 poems that'll be a blessing to you and others. VCY is making available this two-pack of poetry books for a donation of $20 or more to support this ministry. To obtain them, just ask for the poetry books by Alice Hanshee Mortensen when you call VCY America during business hours at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. Or write VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208.
The This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Michelle Critella with us today. She is president of the American College of Pediatricians. Dr. Critella, I know there is so much more on this topic, and there are no doubt people who want to get more information. Perhaps parents listening right now who have children that are gender confused, or teachers who work in the schools who are confronted with this, or those in the medical profession, direct us. You've got a couple websites that you can offer to our listeners to gain more information.
Sure. I would refer you to our main website, which is bestforchildren.org. You can do best4children.org, and that will take you to our main site, which also comes up as acpeds.org.
Okay, acpeds, P-E-D-S,
yep.
.org.
Yep, either one, it'll take you to the same page.
Great.
And you can, in the search bar, type in gender identity issues, and that will pull up our resources on gender identity issues for you.
Mm-hmm. Just before we take our first call, I know that the people have gone so far in this issue to really surgically remove certain body parts so they can further identify as a person of the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, the Daily Signal ran a story of a man who had 7 cosmetic surgeons perform a total of 167 gender-affirming surgery on his body, of course, draining his bank account and living, and the story says he's living in a world of regret. So, speak briefly, if you would, about the harm this causes, I mean, physically, but psychologically and emotionally as well.
Sure. The best study we have, it comes out of Sweden, in which they followed well over 300 adult transgenders who went through hormones and surgery, followed them for 30 years. At the end of 30 years after surgery, the suicide rate was about 20 times greater than the general population. So hormones and surgery are not the answer to the psychological problems at all. They do not resolve the problem. And with it, as far as children go, girls at age 16 who think they are boys may get a double mastectomy.
Mm.
Surgeries to the genitals, so far you have to be age 18. But there are surgeons who are trying to lower that age restriction.
Folks, it's really appalling what's going on. And keep in mind, I mean, there's so many stories out there. There's another one about the House of Man, an erotic gay BDSM clothing store accused of sexualizing children. They used a 9-year-old boy dressed as a drag queen to model for them. And Pink News reports this 9-year-old drag queen who went viral and telling viewers on YouTube, quote, "If you want to be a drag queen and your parents don't let you, you need new parents." That's how severe, Dr. Critella, this indoctrination is in the hearts and minds of these young people.
Yeah, it is severe.
Let's go to the phone lines here today. The lines are packed. We'll take as many calls as we can. East Troy, Wisconsin. William, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate the doctor, what you brought to the program today. I think it's interesting. My point was the whole aspect of political bullying. They are actually bullying people into forcing them to accept what science proves is mm-hmm. not factual. And my wife and I, we live in our school district, but we homeschool, and we know of a situation where a girl believes she's a boy, and now she's bullying the school district into forcing the kids to call her by a different name.
Yeah.
I just think we need to make this point very clear that they say we should accept them and that tolerance is the answer and bullying is wrong, but they are doing it indiscriminately and even indiscreetly back at people.
Dr. Critella.
I, you're absolutely right. That is exactly what's going on, is from the top, whether it's starting with physicians in power, this ideology is being forced on everyone. It's bullying tactics by those in power.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, William, for raising that issue. Monroe and Mark, you're on the air.
Okay, this is my comment. I'm concerned that about our national defense. I think a confused soldier under work conditions is not in a position to take an appropriate stand to defend his comrades. So I'm, you know, I can't help but wonder, you know, under the those conditions, if possibly, you know, some friendly fire might end up as a result of that.
Hmm.
I'm also concerned that the previous commander-in-chief seems to prevail over our current commander-in-chief.
Yeah, whereas his executive order has more power than another executive order. Thanks for the comments here, Mark. And I know we've interviewed Elaine Donnelly from the Center for Military Readiness here on this program as well. But, doctors, and I know that your organization is more on the pediatric side, but do you have concern about those who are gender confused serving in the nation's military?
Well, you know what, again, referencing that study as I did in adults, we know that if you are gender confused and you go through the hormones and the surgery, there are still psychological issues that are underlying. And so depression, suicidal tendencies, not good for a soldier to have.
Roy is our next caller. Roy, you're on the air.
Three sentences. Yesterday, as our radio host said, a big newspaper revealed that a big Wisconsin school district's insurance carrier will pay out $800,000 to a young woman claiming to be a man and to the woman's mother and lawyers. I never imagined that I might become rich by claiming to be a woman. Lastly, now insurance stockholders and maybe taxpayers are being financially drained by people making unscientific transgender claims.
Hmm. Wow.
It's true. Now, medical insurance is – most medical insurers will not pay for the hormones for children, but the physicians who are pushing this agenda are trying to bully the insurance companies into doing so. But you're right, because there's no scientific evidence that this is healthy and effective, there are still insurance companies refusing to give these hormones to children, but the pressure from the bullies is increasing.
All right, thanks for raising the point. Rod is next. Wisconsin Rapids, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask your guest if you were aware that John Hopkins University stopped doing the sex change operation because they went back and did the research of the people that they presumably helped, and overwhelming majority of them regretted what they did, and some to the point of suicide. I was wondering if you knew anything about that.
Yeah, unfortunately. So I'm friends with Dr. Paul McHugh, who was the chief of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins during the 70s. And in 1979, he and a fellow colleague did that study that you're discussing. And they looked at the patients at Johns Hopkins, and following the surgery and hormones, the patients had the same psychological problems as they did before. So Dr. Paul McHugh was responsible for shutting that program down. However, within just a few months ago, the Human Rights Campaign, which is one of the most powerful LGBT activist groups in the country, or probably the world, but at least in this country, Human Rights Campaign, pressured Johns Hopkins to restart their sex change program.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how bad it is. As you point out, the very hospital that established in this country that it doesn't work has been bullied into reopening.
Thank you, Red.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that they had forced them to do that, but
that
really shows the evidence there that,
mm-hmm.
you know, what these people want isn't going to help them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rod. Appreciate that. Dr. Critella, no doubt the question always comes at you, too.
Yeah.
What about those who are declared to be intersex?
Sure. A friend of mine said, oh, you know what you got to say when that comes up? It's a confusopoly.
Hmm.
which I think came from, is it Adam Scott there? But so intersex is a red herring. Intersex is a true medical disorder. It's a congenital anomaly or birth defect. Less than 0.2% of the population is born with an appearance that does not match their sex chromosomes. This is a genetic defect. It is not, has nothing to do with people who declare themselves transgender. A transgender identifying person has normal DNA, normal body, normal hormones. Their issue is in their thoughts and their feelings and perceptions. So intersex is a true genetic abnormality, and it's rare and needs to be dealt with by the patient, their family, and specialist physicians on a case-by-case basis.
Andrew is next in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hi. I really appreciate what the guest has to say today, both medically and scientifically, but I want to pose a question as a possibility. You know, everybody is born into sin, and, you know, God has allowed Satan to, you know, he has allowed him to have his influence here. And since we're born into sin, could it be that these people who have these thoughts and perception disorders, regardless of their biology, that could be the way that sin from birth has been manifested? Is that possible?
So I guess I can answer that as a Christian physician. I see sin as predisposing to psychopathology, or so I guess I would not say that a child is born predetermined to be to feel transgender. I don't believe that we have evidence that a child is born predetermined to feel anything or to be, you know, to identify as transgender. But I do believe because of sin, there are imperfect family dynamics or mothers and fathers. You know, none of us can love perfectly as God intends us to love. And so that's where I see an overlap between psychology and religion. I don't know if that kind of answers your question.
Andrew, thank you so much
for
the question here today. And certainly we are born with a sin nature, and nature seems to mature even as we go through life, and that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Deception is the name of the game in sin. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute with more of your calls here with Dr. Michelle Critella, president of the American College of Pediatricians. Their website, best4children.org or acpeds.org. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. Many evangelicals, pastors, police departments, sheriff departments, and even national security agencies are engaging in interfaith dialogue with known jihadis through the Muslim Brotherhood organization. Perhaps they should remember what one Muslim Brotherhood leader said at a convention in 1996. He said, quote, "It depends on me and you. Either we do it now, or we do it after 100 years. But this country will become a Muslim country. And I think if we are outside this country, we can say, oh Allah, destroy America. But once we are here, our mission in this country is to change it." End quote. There you see, my friends, Muslim Brotherhood, in the early 1900s, that took part in the Holocaust of Adolf Hitler, has admitted they want to turn America into a Muslim nation. Pray tell, why are Americans engaging them in their strategy of interfaith dialogue?
Dr. Michelle Curtello with us today from the American College of Pediatricians, and looking at addressing transgenderism medically and certainly looking at the impact here. Let's go back to the phone lines. Leroy calling from Atlanta. You're on the air, Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, I have two names and a suggestion that may help you.
Mm-hmm.
The first name is Walt Heyer. He is a man, had a sex change, had another sex change because he realized that wasn't what was happening. You know, thanks to the Lord on that, of course.
Are you familiar with Walt Heyer, doctor?
Yeah, he and I are friends. He's wonderful. We presented at the conference together not that long ago. You're absolutely right. He is fantastic. He runs a website called Sex Change, a ministry actually, Sex Change Regret. He is a tremendous resource.
The other name is Maya Dillard Smith. She's an attorney who took a job with ACLU before she left her home in California to come here to Georgia. Before she left, though, her and her daughters went out and went to a public bathroom and three over 6 feet with very deep voices in dresses, transgender males walked into the bathroom, and that more or less scared her straight. The last point, where's the feminist movement on this? Shouldn't they, you know, be somewhere taking umbrage against people who are men who are not women taking jobs and everything else from real women?
Thank you, Leroy.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. The crazy thing is that many feminists are just, they're out of touch. I don't understand how any feminist can be in favor of this. I will tell you that there are many radical feminists who have contacted me, who I have had conversations with, and we are working together. And if you're interested, there is a website called Hands Across the Aisle. Hands Across the Aisle Women. Yeah, Hands Across the Aisle Women. If you Google that, it is a website that an organization run by Christian women and radical feminists who are working together to fight for women and children's rights against the transgender movement.
Thank you, Leroy, for the call. Bobby is next in Milwaukee. Bobby, you're on the air.
Hey, I got to say it's kind of comical to hear that a single child, can destroy a whole school district by bullying. Anymore, I mean, it's hilarious. To purport that a few hundred or a few thousand transgender servicemen and servicewomen can destroy or even disrupt the army. It's just nonsense. It's just nonsense.
What do you think, doctor? Is it nonsense?
It's insane. It's insane.
No, he's saying the opposite. He's saying that what you're saying, Bobby, is
pediatricians. They kick her out. We don't want a religious organization.
Your organization is not a religious organization, but he is saying it's insane that one transgender is going to wreak havoc upon our society. But what we're seeing is that the bullying is happening against those of us who hold to values, who hold to, this is medical science we're talking about, doctor.
Right. But this is what's happened. What has happened is, I mean, this is what's happening. One single child is forcing school districts to fork over $800,000. A handful of physicians in key positions at professional medical guilds is forcing this non-science right down the pike. It is insane that it is happening, but it is happening. It's the reality. I hear, I'm the one hearing from the parents and the physicians across the country, because I'm one of the few willing to speak out.
Organizations are doing this.
What's that?
Which organizations are doing this?
What
organizations are transgender affirming, saying we should give hormones to kids? The American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Pediatric Endocrine Society, the United States, U.S., Professional Association of Transgender Health, the Society for Adolescent Health and Medicine, even the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, even the American College of Physicians. As a matter of fact, those organizations have even written in professional journals that we should not call women's health clinics, women's health clinics, because that's transphobic. Because, you know, men can get pregnant too.
My.
I mean, this is, we are truly in an Orwellian world. Orwellian world. It's one of my family practice colleagues sent me a report from the Telegraph in the UK. The National Health Service in Great Britain will not pay for cervical or breast screens in women who identify as men because, well, they identify as men. We don't want to offend them. But that same National Health Service in Great Britain will offer pap smears, okay, to men who identify as women, even though they don't have a cervix. I am not making it up. You can Google it. I mean, this is, it's truly lunacy. It is lunacy.
It's certainly not sound science or sound medicine by any means. Courtney is calling next from Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints, and this is especially to you parents out there. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parents, it's your responsibility to call your little boys boys and your little girls girls. All this is Satan wanting to change your little boys into sodomites so in the end he can take your soul to hell and your little daughters lesbians. You know, the Bible says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. And you're responsible for those children, and the Lord loves them. And God bless you all. I just made that short, but I wanted to get that in because your kid's soul is at stake.
Thank you, Courtney.
It's a spiritual war.
Thank you, Courtney. Appreciate it so much. Dr. Cortella, we have 30 seconds remaining. What would you like to leave with the listeners here today?
I just want to reaffirm that as parents, grandparents, be assured that, yes, we are born with our sex. We do not choose our sex, and sex cannot change. That is the truth that we must teach our children, and we need to love and affirm our children as the unique boy or girl that they are.
The website, acpeds.org, P-E-D-S.org, or bestforchildren.org. Dr. Cortella, thanks so much for joining us today and touching on this from a medical perspective.
Thank you very much, Jim. It was good to be here.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.